Welcome to Locos and Ostra. I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today we will be talking about Batman Returns, 1992, directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton, barely in it, Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer.
We'll get into what you think about that. So yeah, this...
What was your first time watching it?
My first time watching this was actually just last year. I think it was like during like the spring. I was just on this serious Tim Burton kick. Like, I was watching everything this guy had made, and I'd always heard of, like, it took me a while to actually find out that, oh, he directed some Burton films, because I'd always heard of, like, this movie called Batman 889, and so I watched that first, and I really enjoyed that, and then that's when I went into this one, so it was only when, like, I was kind of getting, like, going to everything this guy had made, seeing all of his movies, so that was the first time I'd ever seen it.
So, yeah, I mean, I've only watched it very recently, obviously, because we're going to cover it today.
Have you ever heard of it?
I'd kind of known Tim Burton did it, and I'd known that Keaton was supposed to be, like, the big competitor for the best Batman.
Which has since kind of been...
I think he's kind of lost that title because Nolan came along, and obviously Bale is electric as Batman.
Okay,
And then there's the modern Batman.
Wait. I know everybody says this, but it's completely valid. His voice as Batman is, what are you doing?
I kind of like it.
No, like Bale.
Yeah.
Really?
I think Michael Keaton's Batman doesn't do enough. He basically doesn't speak. Or when he does, he just like lowers his voice. I think him doing a completely different voice, and it just feels like...
No, because he's reserved character. Like, he's not supposed to be like...
He is, though. Nah. He's like the anger of Gotham personified,
I guess. And an interesting thing with this movie, I'm not sure if we touched on it on the Batman, but the question if it's right for Batman to kill, does Batman kill?
That's like 80% of the comics is, does Batman kill? Does he not? Does he do
this
it?
This one,
not?
He lights a guy on fire and puts dynamite down just like on somebody and blows them up. This version of Batman does not care. He will kill. Nolan's Batman doesn't kill.
Yeah.
Affleck kills, like...
A lot.
probably too much. And then, like, you have Pattinson doesn't kill.
Pattinson doesn't kill, but he's very violent. It's like... Yeah. It's like the joke is that he doesn't kill, but the hospital bills he causes will.
Yeah. Like, I guess.
He's gonna be...
But, like, what do you think? Do you think Batman should be a character who kills? For me, it really depends on the version you're telling.
Yes. Because I think we've seen a lot of different storylines with Batman in film. And I think, for example, if you look at the difference between a film like this, which is really aggressively like Burton and kind of surrealist, versus Pattinson, where it's like...
It's more real.
I wouldn't mind seeing Pattinson as a killer Batman.
I don't know. It doesn't fit the Nolan kind of Batman films, which is fine. I don't mind. I can go either way. Affleck killing...
I feel like
it makes
kind
sense in a Batman versus Superman. It makes sense. Not him wielding a machine gun. No, that really doesn't make sense. But like killing, in this movie, it makes sense. This is a very, this is a darker universe. Do you think this film is darker than the Nolan movies? Because this movie is so messed up.
I don't know. Yeah. I would say it's different kinds of dark because this film is like dark in the way that the Penguin is essentially like,
this dirty
sexual harasser.
Exactly.
Who's
this movie opens up with just some parents trying to murder their children.
That was really weird.
Which is just, I love that.
But it's so Burton.
It gets you into it like, okay, this is the movie you're into.
It's just and really, it's, really Burton.
It's so messed up. And then like you have like the ice princess, like Catwoman pushing the ice princess off the balcony and just dying.
I mean, at the same time, like, you have Pattinson, who, like, I would argue is a lot darker.
I guess the subject matter is more darker.
Because you have, like, literal psychopath, like, just running around killing people for, like...
Yeah, but it's more psychological, I feel.
And, like, the jokes. He kills people and then he makes jokes out of it, like the thumb drive thing and stuff.
Yeah, Pattinson's one, it was more psychological.
Yeah, like, I'd say...
This one is just way more upfront. No, okay, it's just like, Yeah, we just kill. The people just die in this movie. And it's just like the Penguin. I enjoy the Penguin, I think. He is out of the three, like, supervillains and superheroes. So he is my least favorite out of, like, Batman, Catwoman, and the Penguin. Because it's like,
I don't really know how I feel about him. He's very weird.
Weird, because they want us to sympathize with him.
And he feels a lot...
Yeah, he's an awful, awful person. And it's like...
He just feels a lot like a... Like, but like he feels a lot like a classic Burton character.
I know.
Which is this kind of like... Yeah. He's kind of gross, but you kind of feel sad for him.
I'm not really sure
he's if like he the wants mayor. Us
to
feel sad.
Like, at the end. Okay, let's just skip to the end with his death.
That was so... I didn't feel anything when he died.
I don't know what they wanted me to feel.
I didn't feel
On anything. The one hand, yeah. On the one hand, his parents had given him up and they basically left him for dead. Okay, we're supposed to feel about sad for him in that way. But at the same time, he's an awful person. He wanted to murder every single child in Gotham City, along with also, like, sexually harassing a bunch of women. So... Why do you want us to stand on that? I'm not really sure. That is genuinely my only issue with this movie.
Yeah, I think the problem is it's like, it's dark, but it's kind of like the Burton dark where it's like, he does something dark, but he doesn't like how, you know, like the Brothers Grimm and stuff, where they're like gross, but it's a kid's fairy tale.
I know. So yeah.
Where like, there's gross stuff, but it feels like it's like a joke instead of like, where it's actually like...
Yeah.
Like in the Patterson ones, they're dark and they make it like a Fincher movie where like, you can tell that it's trying to be dark.
I know.
As here as it feels like it's like black comedy.
I know, yeah, that's true.
Without the punchline.
Yeah. So like, as for Tim Burton, yeah, I wouldn't start with him. So basically, yeah, as a kid, he was...
exhibition about him.
I know, you said.
He was really bored of suburban life.
You know, he did normal things as a kid. He watched monster movies and played in the cemetery as normal kids would do. And he went to CalArts, which we talked about with like the Treasure Planet episode, which was founded by Walt Disney. When they were bringing in all these animators while Disney was kind of like on life support, while the animation was on life support, and he was brought there and he worked on some of the movies like The Fox and the Hound.
Yeah.
And as if you watch that movie, you know that's just not his kind of thing. Like cute little woodland animals. That wasn't his thing.
He's very, very obviously he's really talented.
Yeah.
But I'd say the thing when you let him just do his own thing entirely.
It can work. That's the thing with some of the stuff he made at Disney. So you had he worked. If you should look at the concept art he made for the Black Cauldron.
Yeah, I saw some of it. It was quite cool.
Really good, and they just decided not to use any of it in the movie. That's another thing the Black Cauldron got wrong. And then he made Vincent there, which is a really, really good short film. And then he also made Frankenweenie,
which is quite good.
That's not the animated film.
I think
the
he
live
works
action.
Really well in the animated world, where he can kind of stretch the boundaries of what's like real a bit.
Yeah.
But when you put him into like real life. It kind of gets...
He doesn't like doing real life.
It gets really odd.
Yeah.
And I think that he goes too far sometimes.
Yeah, it depends. Like, it depends on the movie. And, like, when he was making the live-action Frankenweenie, that was when Disney was like, okay, you just spent $1 million on a movie that we can't even release because it's way too scary. They originally wanted to release it with Pinocchio, which, in my opinion, is a way scarier film than Frankenweenie any day. Oh, no. it is a surprisingly like messed up little movie.
But
they were like, oh no, we can't release this movie. When Frankenweenie isn't even that dark, so he ends up getting fired because of that. But then he meets up with Paul Rubens, and they make Pee Wee's Big Adventure, which becomes like a really big success.
Pee Wee's is so weird from Burton.
It is.
I've watched it again. Comedy movie with the most random like horror scene.
It is just so weird, and I love it. I watched it like 2 weeks again, and it was amazing. And then he made Beetlejuice after that. And then
Beetlejuice is an example of where Burton is left to do Burton.
Yeah,
and it's like too much.
Really? You think?
Like, especially the second one. I don't know if you've seen the second one.
I actually quite enjoyed the second one.
I had no clue what was going on. It was just honestly like pure, very weird, trippiness.
It is really weird. I've got a good story about that. Like,
it was like no plot either. It was just like...
But that's kind of what I expected. You have to be in a frame of mind with this one. Like, my younger sister, she was with her friends and they went out one time and they were like, oh, what movie we should watch? And obviously I told my sister that Beetlejuice is a really good movie. You should go see the sequel. So she was like, hey, let's go see the sequel. And they're like 12 and I knew it wasn't her. It's not
it's
her thing.
It's just so weird. Like,
she goes to go see it. Apparently they walk out like halfway
Yeah.
Because they have no clue what's going on.
Half of the story was a weird mix of Wednesday and the original Beetlejuice movie. And then at the end, for some reason, they make General Tiger birth a smaller version of
Beetlejuice. I think that was the point where they were like, yeah, I'm off.
It's like, what the hell is going on?
Because it was the... It should just burst like a tiny Beetlejuice. And
it's so weird. It's going like, mama.
And
it, like,
you know, it's voiced by Tim Burton.
So weird.
And you have to be in a frame of mind when you're watching that. You need to know you're not in for a serious movie. You're in for like this really weird, really
messed up. I wouldn't even call it a comedy. And it's not even like messed up. It's just like,
it's just weird.
Straight, like very.
But it's such a Burton movie, you know, and. I'm going to say now, like, he had been really floundering during the 2010s. Not a fan of the Dumbo remake. Really not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
I don't mind that one. I think that's where Burton works.
I don't like it. Well. I never liked it.
Well, you filter him down a little bit, so it's a bit more manageable.
No, it was just, it's boring. I'm surprised.
Yeah, because, like, Burton is, like, drinking squash without, like, putting water in it. It's like, that's so, what I like. So
my
aggressive.
Favorite Burton movies are the ones where he just, like Batman Returns, he just does whatever he wants. And the ones that I like the least are the ones that feel like he's been really filtered down. The live action Alice in Wonderland feels like that. Miss Peregrine Home feels like that. Dumbo really feels like that. And he even said in an interview that he's never gonna work with Disney again because, like, they.
That's the thing where just, he does, like.
Yeah.
Like, where he can't change the plot to be what he wants. So then he tries to take it out in different ways, like in
sometimes that kind of works.
Like Looking Glass, where they give her a big head for no apparent reason other than that he wanted to.
I know, I don't get it. But,
so random.
And it's like, have you seen his Planet of the Apes?
I haven't seen Planet of the Apes. I've seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I think is quite good actually.
You know, and
his take of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is quite.
Yeah, good. I really like that one.
I prefer it than Gene. Is it Gene Kelly?
No, Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder one is admittedly better.
I don't really like it. I just don't get it
when he makes some movies. Like, he said that he doesn't like the original, like, Gene Wilder version.
I don't
know. But he still wants to make the movie. With
he
Alice
likes
one,
the book. Yeah, and he made James and the Giant Peach, which is so, like, he produced it.
Yeah, directed by Henry
Selick.
Very
underrated. It's like, actually good.
It's actually quite good. But he also said he doesn't like the original. He doesn't like the original Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, he directed a live action remake. I don't get it. If you don't like the original material, why would you make it? Yeah, but in 1989 he makes like Batman, and Batman is, I think, the biggest movie of 1989. It was the third highest grossing movie behind maybe Raiders and E.T., I think.
Yeah.
So it's like this huge phenomenon. And Warner Brothers is like, oh my god, we made so much money on this. Hey Burton, can you come back and make this one? And if Tim Burton doesn't actually like the first Batman. He really doesn't like it. So he was like, yeah, no, I don't really want to do that, because he wanted to make a smaller film. He wanted to make Edward Scissorhands. So the reason Batman Returns is so just...
Edward Scissorhands is really
It's
good.
Really amazing. That's
where, like, Burton doesn't do, like, too much, but he doesn't do too little.
No, but it is entirely...
It's like a perfect, like, middle lane where you can still follow the plot, without trying to figure out why there's a small child version of Beetlejuice running around.
I know. It's a fairy tale. The best Burton movies are like fairy tales.
Like, fairy tales with a bit of like a nightmare.
Yeah,
like,
with a nightmarish is like the Nightmare Before Christmas. And, you know, do that right.
Like, Beetlejuice 2 is very, very...
If you don't like it because it's too weird, it's like a Batman Returns, actually.
I found Batman Returns kind of hard to
and the reason it's
enjoy
like
enjoy and understand
the reason it's like this is because they were like, okay, you come back and direct this movie, we will let you do whatever the heck you want to do. It's quite similar to how when Joe Dante came back for Gremlins 2, they were like, hey, if you come back and do this movie, we will let you do whatever you want. We won't like bother you or anything. You make the movie you want to make. So this movie is just so Tim Burton-y, just so weird, and just completely just,
I think there were a few mistakes in this film that I didn't like, which was, one, Batman is barely in the film. And when he is, his acting from Michael Keaton isn't great.
I like it.
He doesn't really do anything as Batman. And then basically the rest of the plot for him is falling in love with a literal psychopath.
Yeah, but like, because before I say this, but like, I think it makes sense when I like Selena Kyle and Bruce Wayne together.
Yeah.
They're these both completely broken human beings.
Yeah, like the style in the comics and in the Pattinson Batman, where where Catwoman is like what she's supposed to be, which is like his equal.
Yeah.
So she's like equally as smart and equally as strong.
Yeah.
But she just does crime instead of fighting it.
I know. And Batman, I really like in this movie how Batman kind of blurs the line between villain and hero. He goes around killing people and he... And in the end, like they think Batman's a bad person, and they know he never actually gets his name cleared. So there's this kind of like blurring the lines between how much of a hero is Batman really, and you can see the parallels between him and Oswald Cobblepot, like how he's how both of them were like from really rich families, but one of them was treated really badly, the other one was still able to have like. An affluent enough life.
Yeah.
You're able to see how that kind of forms people. And,
I do like the idea of like whether he's a criminal or not, but
no.
I don't know. I just feel like he's kind of, he's just like not very, he looks to me watching it. It felt like that Michael Keaton was purely there for the money. Like it really looked like he did not want to be there.
I wouldn't say that because it'll come to a point that we'll talk about later, but when they were making the third Batman movie. So have you seen the TV show Gotham, by the way?
I haven't seen Gotham, no. I've seen most Batman adaptations.
Yeah. In Gotham, it is said that Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle did get together.
They do in the comics, like multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have a kid, Damian something. They? He's like the fifth Robin.
Oh,
wait, no, maybe not. I think that's Ra's al Ghul's daughter, who's in... Batman Begins, great villain, played by Liam Neeson.
Oh, well, you know, all right. And, we're going to talk about Christopher Walken in this movie as well.
Christopher Walken,
I like
what
him.
What was he doing there?
He's a Nicolas Cage in my eyes. I don't care what movie he is, how bad, how good it is. He is always one of the most entertaining parts of it. He is so Walken in this
movie.
But
he always talks like he's just annoyed the whole time. There's never a moment where he seems like mildly interested in what's going on. He's always talking like...
No, it is. It's like, it's at the end. One of the funniest things in any movie at the end is where...
The way he dies is so random.
It's so Burton how he dies with, like, the skeleton and everything.
And they make
it's the bit where, like, he is like, Selina Kyle. wait, what was it? It's,
wait, Selina Kyle. For no reason.
No, he's like, Selina Kyle, you're fine.
Wow, what's
Bruce
that
Wayne,
do?
Why is he dressed up like Batman? He is so weird in this movie. And his son.
But to be fair, I think I feel the same way he does. It's like, Michael Keaton, what are you doing here as 20 minutes of screen time?
I know, yeah. And it's like, you wouldn't guess it.
Why is Michelle Pfeiffer?
Michelle Pfeiffer is the best Catwoman. I'm just going to...
No, I really dislike her Catwoman a lot.
Oh, damn.
Like, I find her really weird. Because she's like, to start with, the whole like, they try and make her a bit funny. She's so unfunny to me.
Yeah, no, but...
Where she's like, honey, I'm home. Oh, I'm not married. And then they reuse the joke again.
Oh, that... No, okay.
And then, like, she falls.
Where she gets pushed out the window is one of the wildest things I've seen in anything.
Weird.
It's just like, huh? He just shoves up the window. And it adds to how much I enjoy this movie because it's so dark. She just gets shoved out the window in this movie.
I just find her, like...
I don't know. I
can't follow her as a villain. Like, I don't understand what she's doing. Because she'll go from, like, okay, I can kind of get behind, like, her trying to get revenge and, like, on Batman because he ignored her. And then the next scene, she's, like, licking Batman's face. Or she's, like,
God, this movie is so
she's, like,
weird.
Cutting people up or throwing girls off buildings. Like,
I know.
I don't understand what she's doing.
Her breakdown scene, though, is not... Okay, with that scene, I've got to talk about the score with this movie.
The score's really good.
It is genuinely one of the best... Like, the first Batman movie has an absolutely incredible score. And the Batman theme is, in the Burton movies, is the best. It's the best out of any theme.
I still prefer the Amazing Spider-Man themes.
Okay.
I will defend the Amazing Spider-Man until the day I die.
And, like, the first Spider-Man's actually done by Danny Elfman as well, so you got that. And it's like...
Danny Elfman's very good at
it. I know. And the first Batman is the best Danny Elfman score I've ever heard. The Batman theme is whenever I think of Batman, that is what I think of. It's that.
How's it go again?
I'll have to get it up.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. Actually, no. Yeah, that is very solid.
It is so good. And it's just. It is. It is genuinely just like, it's what I think of when I hear Batman. The score in the Batman is really good. I'm not even going to deny it. Yeah. Especially in that car chase at the end.
Yeah, the score that in was incredible. Pattinson's Batman is really good because it fits the vibe without directly ripping off the previous ones. Mm. One thing I can't get behind with this movie is the costume design.
Oh, I love the costume design. It is.
Pfeiffer's Catwoman suit, for me, is just really weird.
No, because it's supposed to show how she is completely broken and just trying to stitch herself back up together. It makes so much sense. And it looks incredible, okay? It looks incredible. That is, again, when I think of Catwoman, that's who I think of.
It's just this aggressively spandex outfit to me. And the
You want spandex? Go watch Harley Berry's Catwoman.
Don't even get me started. The Batman suit in this film isn't bad.
It is quintessential
Batman.
There's
just infinitely better Batman
suits. Are you
going
to call Affleck's or Pattinson's or Bale's?
Bale's suit is better.
Oh my God.
And
Bale's
suit is so much better.
Bale's suit just goes into his face and it's like, what is that? Why is it
it's
in his
face?
It's
great and it's grounded.
No, it's not.
And he can move his neck for once.
Okay, yeah, he can't
instead
move.
Of this weird, like, entire shoulder move and then this, like, jerky, like, his whole arm comes up to shoot a bullet and stuff is so...
No, but it's like, you know, it kind of... No, for me, that works because it adds to the uncanniness of who Batman is. You know, that's why I'm yet to go see The Flash, but what I have seen of The Flash doesn't work.
Don't go see it.
Batman isn't a person who looks like a CGI character who can just, like, move all over the place and stuff and just, like...
But he is supposed to be, like,
He's a quite reserved person, you know? Now, that's how I've always seen it. And just having him CGI just, like, jumping around like Spider-Man just doesn't work.
This is the problem about having debates about characters like Batman and Spider-Man and stuff, is that there's so much material that... You're never going to have the same view about who they are. Because, like, depending on what you've consumed, you're going to have different... Like, my view on Spider-Man, it may be very different to your view. And my view on Batman is probably very different to your view.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's why it's interesting.
I think he's less of a reserved character. I think he's more of a symbol. And in that way, I think he has to be able to move and, like... have these realistic dark storylines, because there's not that many heroes in modern cinema that can have these stories like the Batman with Pattinson, where, you know, you've got drug lords, you've got mafia people. That doesn't work with a guy like Flash.
I know, that's like, the thing with you can't tell the same storyline with Spider-Man that you can tell with, like,
you can, but not
Daredevil.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man, who's just terrible.
Okay, we'll get into that one day. I'm not doing that right now.
I do not like Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
But yeah, like, Selena's breakdown in this movie is just...
I found it so random.
It is. Not only the score is incredible, but it is... It's kind of funny how she...
I thought it really... I thought it was a comedy moment, I can't lie.
I don't even know what I'm supposed to think of it.
She goes, like, this is like... Oh, have you got Gotham Girl perfume? And then she just screams and throws a shoe at the pot.
Because it's kind of funny, because it's like, it's an advertisement that say from the company of the guy who pushed out the window, and it's saying, like, have this perfume and your boss will want to spend time with you after work. hour before her boss after work just shoved out the window. It is just so dark, and it's just...
I just find it really, like, confusing and really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. And one of my favorite scenes is the scene at the party.
Yeah.
Where, like...
Where she hasn't gone for some reason. Like, and she's like, and she's, like, trying to shoot Christopher Walken.
No. I love it, because this is... It is one of, like, one of the best acting I've seen in any superhero movie. Because it's, like, you have Michelle Pfeiffer... Going from, like, normalcy, then going into crazy, and then she starts crying in, like, the space of, like, a minute and a half.
I don't think that's good acting.
That's really good acting.
That's just, like, really weird. Because, like, I didn't feel anything because I didn't have time to, like, react to her emotion.
No, it's just, like...
Because she's, like, she goes from, like, as you said, normal, and then she goes psycho, and then it's, like, fine. And she has, like, a breakdown. No, if that was stretched out and I, like, got interested in a character dynamic...
Are you
sure.
kidding? No.
But 80% of the film, she's, like, mood swinging. And it's so hard to understand what she's thinking. I didn't understand her plot. She's like, okay, I understand up to it. She becomes Catwoman, right? And then I get that she wants that Batman. Then she licks his face. And then she tries to kill Penguin. And then she has this weird thing where she, like, gets floated up into the sky, falls down into a glass building. starts crying.
Well,
and
then because she just died again, nine
and
lives.
And then randomly ends up in the, like, center of the end of the story for no reason.
Yeah, no, that ending with, like...
Where she just same, appears.
We're the same. No, the bit where, like, we're the same, and, like, when Batman is telling her that, not only are the score incredible, but the acting is just... It's so good. The acting in this movie is so good. Like, although I'm kind of a bit jarred by, like, the Penguin.
I just find it really jarring.
I think Danny DeVito gives a performance of, like, a lifetime in this movie. It is... You wouldn't even guess it was him. You wouldn't even guess. Okay, the bit with the Penguins was like, we're in Crazy Town now. Okay, this... if you didn't understand what movie you were in for now, yeah, we have this... You know, we watched The Batman.
Followable for about an hour. And then you get to the point where Christopher Walken is wearing a turban on his head with a massive
that was a masked party.
Yeah. You get to this bit where he's got like a turban. And then the rest of it is just so uncomprehendable about what's going on. Suddenly, I think the problem with the plot is it relies on too many like things happening, like chance items happening to make it the plot carry on. Like, I like it when the story could happen even if something went wrong and it could still carry on. Like, in this film, the plot is held together by a piece of string of, like, lucky things happen. Like, oh, Batman's about to drive into a wall. But don't worry, his car can shrink down in size, even though we never established
this. Okay, we're going to talk about that. This is the coolest Batmobile.
No.
Ever.
The muscle car.
It is so cool. If I was a kid in the 90s, that would be my dream car. That would. Like, it is so... cool. It's just like, it's really streamlined and it's not bulky like the Affleck one. Or it's just like, ugh. It's just like, it's so streamlined. It looks like
it's
a Formula One car.
And it's like a plastic
and it can do
car.
Anything. Oh, the bat. I sound like a 10-year-old child now. But like, the bat jet ski. Oh
that
my
was
God.
So
that is so cool. Oh, and Batman's house in this movie where it's just, I like in this movie because it takes, I'm a really big fan of the German expressionistic films of like the 1920s. Like, Metropolis and Nosferatu, and looking at this movie, it takes so much from German expressionism. Like, and I'd have to find a picture of Metropolis and show you. Like,
I think I've seen it. I know, like, it's very similar, but
Because the opening shot of Gotham.
The problem is, I'm a massive like Fincher-esque movie fan, where the plots are more like grounded, and the cinematography is really like
the cinematography in this movie is incredible.
I find this kind of movie where it feels like an 8-year-old wrote it and then they hired a really talented director to explain it. Really hard to understand.
I don't really feel it's hard to understand.
I don't get the plot. I just find...
Look, you've got that and then it basically feels it's taken directly from like...
Yeah, I know.
And I love that because... But the problem, I already said this, but with the Nolan films... Gotham doesn't have a personality to me. It's just Chicago. Batman is a fantastical character. To have somebody go up around in a bat suit for their living, it's kind of fantastical. So you need to have a little bit of leeway. That's why in this movie, Gotham reflects that. In the first movie, in Batman 89, it's a crime drama. So like Gotham looks like it's going to mug you, which I really like. In this movie,
but that's what I think
It's in the middle between the realism and the fantasy of this movie.
I think it's perfectly like. Because it feels like that Gotham is going to come up to you on the street and offer you drops and then like kidnap you at the same time. And it's got like the enough that you don't feel like, am I in like a plasticine? Because the problem with the Gotham for me is it doesn't have the texture of a real place. Like,
okay, one,
it
this
feels
is,
like
this
a
is
kid's
19,
place. At,
this is 1992. Oh, when we get to the Schumacher films, then we can talk about playset.
But it's not like a CGI. It's
no,
like...
but this one, the Batcave is, wow, incredible. I've been to a Warner Brothers studio in Leavesden, I want to say.
The Harry Potter one.
Yeah, the Harry Potter one. Yeah, and it is really cool because they've shot so many films there. And this is where they built like a real Gotham. In those studios, like if you went there in like 89, the Gotham is just there and it's really incredible. And that's what I like in a movie.
I do like when someone does that and they actually spend their budget. Like,
exactly.
The Amazing Spider-Man movies, we kind of touched on this.
Yeah, but it's CGI ridden.
Where they used a lot in the place to recreate New York so that they could do all the
stunts.
I don't
know why you just wouldn't do it in New York. That is...
No, because then you'd have to shut it off and you'd be limited to a certain amount of time to get the shot.
I don't know. It's just like...
Because you can play with it and you can do whatever you want, like, inside of it.
And it's like here, it's like, okay, everything is practical. I don't think I've ever said this, but I don't like... I don't like CGI that much when it's used as a crutch. There's like only a few movies that actually need CGI to enhance the experience. I think movies like Avatar,
yeah.
Spider-Man, and actually Men in Black as well. You get the movie is better once you have the CGI animators. It makes
Men
it
in
better.
Men in Black is not a good example. Men in Black
no,
is
no, it is
so
the first Men in
the
Men
third
in
one is
the,
so
I,
bad.
I've watched all of them, and Paul Rubens is in this movie. He's Pee Wee Herman plays the penguin's father.
Yeah.
Which is, that is
hilarious.
Yeah,
that was probably my favorite part of the movie, the bit with the dad and like he's drinking a martini and then the mum comes and drinks the martini
like,
as well.
At the beginning when the mum is just screaming while he's getting burned, how they just place the child in a cage when he is born? Who does that to a child? It's so messed up. I love it. And it's just,
the marketing was pretty good for this movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think this is a good enough time to talk about...
I also don't like the Batman logo.
Are you kidding me? That is one of the most iconic logos. I have this poster up in my room. I have the poster for 89 and Returns in my room.
But they've changed the logo.
I don't know why.
Chest.
It's so iconic.
But the logo on his chest is not the same as the actual Batman logo.
Okay, we will have to do this. Yeah, I'll be quick, but like in Batman 89, they didn't have they had the rights to Batman, obviously. Warner Brothers had the rights to it, but they didn't have the rights to like use the logo. So if you look at Batman 89, the logo looks kind of weird because it's not completely right. But like on the posters, by the time they were doing posters and stuff, they got the rights to it. So that's why it looks kind of weird. But have you read the Batman 89 comics, by the way?
No, I read...
Because they are continuations.
Batman Returns, and I really liked as well the... Like, the storylines like Long Halloween are really good.
No, because like recently, I think last year, they've been making these comics like based on the Tim Burton movies, and apparently they're quite good. They just made this new one with the Riddler instead.
Yeah,
which...
they did a Riddler one with Paul Dano writing it as
really?
The backstory to his character.
That is quite
Batman.
Interesting.
And... It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, but we have to talk with this movie, like what went wrong like when it came to it being released? So like the first Batman movie, it came out and it made $460 million. And that's not even to talk about marketing. You know, part of Jack Nicholson's deal was to get part of the box office and part of the merchandise with this movie, with Batman 89. So it's like, do you know how much this guy made off the first Batman?
A lot.
Because merchandise, they just went all over the top with the amount of merchandise you could get. So with this movie, they tried to do the same thing. When this movie comes out, everybody is like, what the hell is this? Why is this movie so weird and dark? And they had done deals with McDonald's and stuff. And you know, you can find interviews online of people, of like kids saying that, kind of like protesting this movie, like they should not be advertising this stuff to kids. And... I don't know. I'd have to
look.
To
be fair, though, like, it's not as bad as the Schumacher movies, which basically made extra suits just to sell more toys.
So, Batman Returns. It's because like, people were not happy with this movie. So, like, there's an interview. I think it's called Closer Look. Let me see. And, like, they had these children on the panel.
Hello, everyone. By now, you pretty much have had to have heard that the summer's big movie is Batman Returns. In its first couple of weeks, it has already grossed more than $100 million at the box office, and it is already creating controversy. Some parents contend that Batman Returns, which is rated PG-13, is...
It's a 15, though.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't think it was that bad, to be honest.
No, okay, no. It's like marketing The Dark Knight Rises to children. It's... Or like marketing.
It is not like marketing The Dark Knight Rises.
See, look. It's 10-year-old.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
This is...
I hate this movie.
I wish I grew up in the 90s, because what is this?
It was very violent. It was a...
Violent? Bite someone's nose off, and that's about it.
Everything that kids love was being used against them.
Like what?
Clowns. ducky boat. And things that kids could do. Peasants and mobiles. All that type of stuff for using to hurt kids and capture kids. Penguin's total goal was to hurt kids.
You think it was scary then?
Definitely for kids.
Yeah, for you?
For kids.
I was actually a little bit scared, and I have never been scared of a movie like this before.
I missed the 90s.
Fine. Yeah. What do you think about the possibility of younger kids seeing this movie? You're 10, and it frightened you.
It's just not for younger kids. Penguin always had goop coming out of his mouth. Catwoman took her claws and played tic-tac-toe on a man's face. It was just so violent.
I forgot about that.
And
I know.
With all the McDonald's toys, it's making it sound like it is for kids, and it's not.
Yeah, actually, Danny, you bring up an appropriate point there, because let me.
I technically agree. I technically kind of agree with that kid. You know, you really shouldn't market this movie to kids.
Like, hey, but that being
with
said,
all the sexual innuendos and like
the toys,
saying like Christopher Walken saying to the penguin like, oh, you can have unlimited poontang, and I was like, what? How do you have that in this movie? And you're like, hey, this is another Gremlin situation where it's like,
what actually is Gremlins 2?
It is a weird one, but with the first movie, it's technically a Christmas movie. They release it in July. Not this one, the first one. They release it in July, and I don't know. It's the same thing here. They released this movie in July,
and it's Christmas.
I know.
What the hell?
I don't even know if I should consider this a Christmas movie. It's weird. It's, you know, and this has a lot of weird like parallels with Gremlins. I don't really know why. But these two movies, they were just with Gremlins 2, just given to the director saying, "What, do whatever the hell you want to do."
Why did
movie.
The director make a mobster girl?
It is so funny. Like, they do this big like New York sequence, and then at the end, there's a female gremlin gets with like the main bad guy, and in the middle of the movie just breaks down, and Hulk Hogan has to come out of the seat out of the audience and say sorry for the disruption, and it's. Lennon Moulton is in this movie reviewing the original Gremlins, and then the Gremlins kill Lennon Moulton, and there's Smart Gremlin, and there's like there's Brainy Gremlin, there's Batman Gremlin in this movie, and it's just I don't know what was going on in the
writers' rooms in the 90s. You've got movie which someone decided was the bright idea to make Danny DeVito crash out on Batman in his pajamas and then collapse.
You know, for the kids.
Because who doesn't want to see Danny DeVito's bum through cotton?
It's just like, what? I miss the 90s movies. They could, like, this was before PG became absolutely nothing. Like, PG nowadays, movie, like, Inside Out 2 has a PG, I think. I don't know.
Inside Out 2 is a PG.
I don't know why. Back then, you know, actual movies got a PG. You know, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom had a PG. Gremlins had a PG-13. Those were, like, back then, those are real PGs. You could get away with anything back then. But I think this was when it started to change, when people were like, okay, what should we be marketing to children?
Right, final reviews.
Batman Returns is my...
So
I think weird. I think behind... Probably, actually, only The Incredibles. It is my second favorite, like, superhero film, like, ever made. It is. My favorite movies are the ones that are just brimming with personality. And this movie has so much personality. The set design is incredible. The acting is incredible. The directing is incredible. Sure, not everything works out in this movie. Not everything flows. I forgot to talk about the bit where like they just suddenly have the plans for Batman's car, which they're going to hijack. Where did you get that? I really want to know how you got that. But I still really enjoy this movie. This movie is a 10 out of 10 for me. I genuinely have zero... Well, I have problems with it, but it's like... I enjoy this movie too much to really care, okay? And once you've seen movies like Superman 3, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, you know how bad superhero movies can get, especially in this time. You know how bad... If you watch this movie, you know how in the dark, you know how bad movies can get. So I really like this movie for just going at it, making the most interesting movie it can. So, yeah. 10 out of 10. 5 stars for me.
I feel so bad.
No, because like your opinion is everybody else's opinion. I'm not even mad at you because it's like,
I give it a 6. I think there's too many plot holes, too many problems, and it feels very much too
complicated. Are you siding with that child who said, when the penguin started having gloop coming out?
I don't mind.
Absolutely scandalous at that Catwoman.
I don't mind it. Honestly, the gloop is the least of this film's problems.
Yeah, this movie is weird, it is messed up, and I can't get enough.
You can watch it, but if you want to watch a Batman movie,
you probably shouldn't start with this movie. You need to, like a lot of...
That this character actually does have his own stories that isn't Danny DeVito going on a murder spree.
Like a lot of Tim Burton movies, like, you need to be in a frame of mind when you watch this movie. You don't be in a normal frame of mind. You need to understand, okay, I'm getting into something really weird, really messed up, okay? Just, like, go with it. And I think one day... If you didn't enjoy this movie, I think you would have joined like Batman 1989 more, because it's more way straightforward, which we'll get to like sometime in the future. Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
So that's 7 out of 10?
7 out of 10, average. Yeah. Thank you for listening. I've been Edward.
Been Noah.